Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I have this problem, or problems, as most people would describe me. I'm crazy, but also controversial. Some people just say, I can't shut my mouth. Well, I got news for you. There's something else, or someone else, that was controversial. Just start the damn show.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something else.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Brian Rails, and we're going to start off better than the last show. You know why? Because it's post-July 4th, everyone's brain has been jumbled, so I got to say, like the title says, the word change and how it's perceived in professional wrestling. I'm going to talk to you guys all about how certain fans will tell you they are apt to change and they are all completely for it, and they, well, they basically say the same thing, which is, I will watch this match, but if it ends this way, I'm not going to watch wrestling for the rest of my natural born life, and screw Vince McMahon and screw Triple H. And so far, you know what? Here's the thing. Why say screw Vince and screw Hunter when in fact, you know, they've brought so many things or so many people up from NXT, and not just that, they are bolstering their product in NXT. NXT is a godsend. Do you know why? Because not just because of Asuka and Nikki Cross, not just because they are bringing the heat. It's because you watch the show and it's the quality that counts over quantity. It does not have anything to do with, oh, you know, I'm going to watch this, and if she doesn't win the championship or he doesn't win the championship, I'm not going to watch wrestling. Certain fans will say, I like the change. I like the way, you know, I like the way the setup is. I like Bayley. She's a good babyface champion. You know, she does everything a babyface is supposed to do. Then you have people that sit there and say, well, The Undertaker lost to Roman Reigns. I'm not going to watch wrestling. I'm just going to go watch the independents. That should not be the reason you come watch the independents. Also, you know, The Undertaker's hip was pretty bad, ladies and gentlemen. He can't be a strong stallion forever. So, here's the deal. Whenever you have a chance to watch something that's as good or as great as professional wrestling or UFC or boxing, aren't you going to say, well, if Floyd Money Mayweather beats Conor McGregor, I'm just going to quit watching sports altogether? Now, as much as some of us hate Floyd and, all, you know, pretty much some of us do not like Conor McGregor, you got to give the guy credit. Well, in some areas, not a lot. He can back up what he says, unlike the people he has faced off with, which have no room to chat about because they were duds. So how does this tie into my discussion with the word change in the world of professional wrestling? Some fans are apt for it. Some fans are really not. some people can adapt and some people can perish. But the difference between adapting and perishing is this. If you're the type of fan that enjoys it and cheers really loud and loses their voice like the host the most and sounds like a raspy person from Bridesmaids, you know, whatever that movie was, I got to say, whenever you enjoy it that much, you're doing something right. Obviously, some people take too much time to hate and troll or whatever. I really, you know, this question just comes up on Instagram. You guys are awake? Holy shit. What do I consider that I do? What are you asking? Okay, your question is, what is it that I consider myself to be? I'm not a troll. I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. A realist is someone who will look at a situation or a group of people, if that's who you're referring to, and tell them the truth. Now, if those people are not apt for change, that's not my job to go around telling them what to do and how to do it. So, again, you know, this is the story of the life of a pro wrestling fan and also a former worker. As I say former, I haven't worked in quite some time, but that's a different story for a different day. The word change in professional wrestling, people, is something along the lines of, will the fans cheer if this situation occurs? It's like a chain reaction. So you write down on a piece of paper the promos, the creative team writes the promos. The wrestlers go out and wrestle, and the outcome, although they say, ooh, it's predetermined, guess what, fuckers? If you sit there saying, I know what's going to happen, and I predict it, you know, and you have your prediction sheets, that's cool. That's a form of fandom, I guess. If you want to be a complete narcissistic nerd, that's on you. That's not just forming opinions. That's just telling it the truth. I mean, Jesus. You sit there and you say, okay, well, what qualifies yourself to be a good fan? There is no awards. There's no points, there's no likes, there's no emojis to tell you how to be a wrestling fan, although there are discussion boards for one. And discussion boards I didn't mention, but I'm probably going to edit this out later and figure out what to put, but discussion boards. They are all apt for saying, you know, this guy buries that guy. You know who I'm referring to when it says John Cena, so or, you know, when they sit there and say, well, Bray Wyatt should have won this and he should have done that. Again, that's not up to you. That's not up to me. That's up to the guys that are sitting in the office in Connecticut or the guys sitting in the production room and saying, hey, you know, I really think if we go this direction, the build here is going to work and it's going to be a good payoff because it's going to get the fans talking. I will admit, you know, the whole idea behind Carmella, you know, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase was brilliant. Do you know why? Because although she may not be the greatest of workers, she's certainly not a bad person. Not just because of one ride-along episode. I actually have met her. Does that qualify as, you know, she's the greatest person alive? No. But there is a certain apt for her. She's adapted quite nicely on SmackDown Live. And whether people like to admit this change or not, not just her, but let's speak outside the E for a moment, shall we? You look at what's going on around the world of wrestling. You see guys like Matt Riddle, and you think, okay, well, what good chance does Keith Lee have against him? Keith Lee is a phenomenal dude whose wrestling skills, you would think he was a light cruiserweight just by the maneuvers that he does or moves that he does. He's very technically sound, extremely humble, confident, whatever you want to call it. This dude is amazing. Him and Chris Hero, I get the pleasure of seeing those two behemoths go at it in San Antonio. And I got to tell you, what does this have, you know, you're asking me, what does this have anything to do with change? Well, for starters, gentlemen, Keith Lee is changing the face of professional wrestling for bigger men. Now, normally big guys are not known as high flyers. They're not known as risk takers. They just do big men moves, which is, you know, either the boot to the face or elbow drop that gets the crowd's reaction going, or the leg drop that makes Pan go, holy shit, because the guy was viscerous size, or Vader, or Yokozuna. So, not very many high flyers, big guys that are high flyers. So, that's a change that wrestling fans are, you know, just in awe of, because that's the kind of change that make any audience go, holy fucking balls, this guy can actually work. And he's a big boy. So, I mean, what do you say? How do you think a lot of fans will react if Keith Lee wins the WWN title? How do you think people will react, you know, when Sasha Banks wins the championship? Give me a fucking break. Okay. Not a lot of people will be surprised. And if Alexa somehow retains the championship, just saying. We didn't cover very much of Raw or SmackDown Live on the show because we had two awesome guests, Luke Roberts and Adrian Surge. So don't be surprised if I try to keep tabs, you know, on what's all going on, because it is quite late here. Back in Brooklyn, I'll be back in Kansas City this Saturday for NWL Kansas City, the show at Scottish Rite Temple. Anyways, back to what I'm saying, guys. Change in the world of professional wrestling, that word can take on a whole new meaning. It could be change of scenery, you know, change of champion, change of a lot of things. So if you really pay attention to not just SmackDown Live, Raw, NXT, all the major pay-per-views, what I'm trying to explain to you guys is changing the world of professional wrestling could mean you can change your toxic environment, move out of a group that really is not good for you. Speak from experience on that, but I'm not going to waste my time, all my time, I should say, discussing that. But, you know, if you're not satisfied with the group or territory that you're working for, get the fuck out. Plain and simple. Now, as a fan, if someone changes sides, if they go to the E, as it's now referred to, a lot of people say, oh, you're a sellout, you're never going to be welcomed, you're never going to be accepted over there. It's half right and half wrong, because you never know until you try, the old saying. And if you do get labeled as someone who was a sellout, well, let me tell you something. Certain fans will like to be stuck in their ways because familiarity is always a human trait, right? So it's just human nature that someone will say the comment, oh, you're not going to be accepted, or you're a sellout, you're not going to be perceived well, or whatever. That kind of change is all up to the worker. Sometimes it pays off, and sometimes the fan is proven right, because sometimes WWE just doesn't really have a space for them or doesn't know what to do with the talent. So it's all about perception. Sometimes wrestlers, they get caught up and they move and they do things right for them. I mean, God forbid they have a family to feed at home or they're just doing this because they want to, or because the time is right and it was time for them to move up in this world. So, in other words, some people don't like when a wrestler moves away because they are either their favorite or they just want them to be that same guy. But from a worker's perspective, some managers are better known as saying simple phrases like forget about it, or not in the cards, it's not in the stars for you. I don't know what other guys say, but I'm just saying, it's a play on words, I know. Really, really bad play on words. If you, the person, is satisfied with the change, that's all up to you. If you as a fan are not satisfied with the change, tough nuts, because I hate to say this, you're always going to have a newfound favorite. You're always going to find a new guy to be around. Then there's people that say, I like this. I know I like this person, so it's, you know, who I'm going to cheer for. I'm set in my ways. The word change, when you think about overall, it could range from a lot of things, and it's not just new champions. It could be the simple fact that maybe this could be somebody's last rung of his career. So, you know, you just gotta observe. You gotta take a step back and say, okay, if the company that I'm cheering for is gonna change this guy, I'll gladly take into consideration what they're doing. But see, that's not how this works. Fans are going to see things one way and workers are going to see things another way. So, in essence, to change, certain fans will tell me, oh, man, what did you think of this? I really didn't like the way that they did this. Guess what? They got you chatting not just about Mahal, but Cody Rhodes winning the Ring of Honor Championship. They got that. That was a positive reaction. Right. So, lately I've been talking about fan reactions, worker reactions. Let's see here. Omega's decision to not join WWE because he is seeing what they are doing with AJ Styles, what they are doing with the Shinsuke Nakamura. Is it all up to us, though? I mean, come on. There's just a lot of question marks about certain changes in the world of wrestling. The Bullet Club, you know, leaving from Japan, that was a huge change. That was a leap of faith to go to WWE. But the problem is when you have minimal amount of days that they held the Tag Team Championship, then you get a lot of debate on why or what's going on. So I'm just going to say it. Some of the changes the WWE makes is not very apt to the normal mind, that, you know, sane mind. But it's not, again, like I said, the changes they make, they must know what they're doing because they've had years of experience. So when people say that they're going to be apt to change and they don't mind, please keep in mind that when you say that you're apt for change, do not try and bait somebody into reacting to you, because I hate those people. It happened. It happened in St. Louis. It happened in Kansas City. And ironically enough, these are the thoughts that ran through my brain when someone said, The Miz is the perfect heel. He shouldn't change. They should just keep him the way he is. Well, guys, I hope you're satisfied. His character has not changed in 6 years. Does that have any tone or effect on my personal life? No. Does this have any effect on me having a roof over my head and me being able to function? No. But some of you would die if the Miz turned babyface. You guys wouldn't know what to do. And I didn't like it when they turned him face. He had such an opportunity, but then I guess he's the greatest heel the company has. Statements can go a long way into varying. And me changing my tune, you know, some people saying I'm closed-minded on here. Okay, let me explain something to you all. If I were closed-minded, I wouldn't be allowing your questions, would I? I would just be sitting comfortably at home, you know, doing nothing, not having this, you know, redo version. So a friend of mine suggested that I redo this show. The old me would have told that friend to fuck off, and I would just, you know, what the fuck, would have reacted just like that. So here's the thing. You cannot say, I'm apt for change. Fans say this all the time. those same people that say, oh, Bray Wyatt was buried for 4 years, they did kind of, and I won't say bury, but what role when creative is going one direction and the fans are thinking a completely different one, you know, how do you plan for a change? You don't, because in the world of wrestling, it's very much an even playing field, because 1 week, you know, one day, Zack Ryder is champion, and then the next, The Miz is now the Intercontinental Champion. That was last year. See, things can happen, you know. Some people say, oh, he was self-made, that's why the company didn't favor him. That's partially true, but do you go around telling executives that to their face? I mean, like, oh, man, you guys suck. You don't know what you're doing. Change is kind of a loose term in any setting. So, you know, you just really have to play your cards right. And, you know, just adjusting as a fan, as a worker, change as a worker. Okay, I want you to be babyface. I want you to be, it doesn't work like that, man. I haven't been around for very long, but I know that if a promoter tells you to do something and it's your fucking money on the line, and it should, people forget, you must be a humble servant and serve the company first before it serves you. Otherwise, you're going to be flat on your ass. And thank you, Uncle Bob, for reinserting that advice in my head, because I hear it all the time. Be a servant, be a servant. If you're not, then, you know, okay, so what value are you to the company? What do you bring to the table? And how can you provide for that company, even if you're not working? What changes? If you're not working that night, are you going to work security? Are you going to work merchandise? It's hard. I got to tell you, it is hard to adjust to the change. I didn't expect to be a podcast host. This isn't about me. This is about all the listeners, all you wonderful fans. I never once okay, there's a difference. I did get angry with a fan. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I should know better than, because it's just friends and family with one group of fuckers. Am I bitter? No. I'm just, like I said, I am a realist. And how I deal with change is going to be way different than how other people deal with their change. So, how do I deal with, you know, transitioning back to the East Coast and still doing this show? I can tell you how. It's very simple. You take one day at a time, and you don't overthink. It's easier said than done. And a lot of people like to make excuses. I can't do it because I have this, that, the other. My parents are the ones, you know, diffusing my dreams. Your parents aren't going to be the blame for when, you know, you're trying to provide for your family or vice, you know. You have to take care of yourself. And in the world of wrestling, I say this a lot. Fans are the main reason you should be doing this, point blank, period. And if you're not doing it for them, you're just a fool, dude. There's some people that do this for the money, and that's all fine. But when you have to change up your motif, your who you are as a character, you have to change up certain things, you have to get new merchandise, do new things. Some guys are on the ball when it comes to doing so. And so you just have to put things into perspective, take a step back, and just adjust. That word associated with change, and also really taking the time to look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, as a fan, you know, I just enjoy wrestling, enjoy the show. Sometimes shows are going to be disappointments. Sometimes you will see a show that is complete crap. But to creative, oh, that was great. It got the fans talking. Really? Because we've been, finally the changes come when a certain somebody goes on hiatus or movie filming or game show filming and allows Bray Wyatt to shine. Am I talking about John Cena? You bet your ass. I'm not sugarcoating shit. Whenever someone works hard and earns the company's respect, fine. You have yourself a modern-day Hulk Hogan. Is that comparison fair? Some may say it is, and some may say it's not. Some may be seen as fans, some may not. But boy, when it comes to changes, you know, you really have to look deep, deep, deep inside and say to yourself, where do I fit in the wrestling world? Am I a complainer? Am I a go-getter? Do I get my own show and complain so that other people can complain and I promote the hell out of this thing? I would say, you know, guys, it's a dream come true just being, not just to vent, but being able to put thoughts together and not just on paper. You know, these are just free-for-all thoughts. A lot of people, some people will tell me, well, B-Train, you're just rambling on just to hear yourself talk. No. It's a definitive no, because if that were the case, you guys would probably turn the show off right now. So, I gotta say, one thing's for sure. One thing is for sure, and that is pro wrestling will always entertain kids. That's why certain things are done the way they are done. And although Great Balls of Fire is coming up, a lot of my friends here in Brooklyn are saying it's going to be very, very predictable and it's going to leave a shitty SummerSlam. Guys, you never know. Things could be awesome at Great Balls of Fire. If they waste it with Joe, then they waste it. And sure, it'll piss a lot of people off, but that's the reality of it. So I started to think to myself, look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. That was unexpected. And again, you know, it is late, so it's about 1:14 over here. So as I was saying, mindsets for fans and workers are different. You know why? Certain fans get it. They understand the sacrifice that entails being a pro wrestler or manager or referee. Other fans run off at the mouth and don't really think about what they say, and they wonder why. They wonder why I say certain fans, not all fans, asterisk, asterisk, have the IQ of fucking 12. Is that an insult to fans? No, because we all got duped in certain instances with WWE. We all got duped in certain instances at Ring of Honor. For those who are major, major fans of Ring of Honor or are major fans of Dynamo Pro or of CZW, because if you seriously just go through a show and say, well, this, you know, I can't believe they took the title off him. I don't like it. I'll give you a great example, and I can talk about this for the next 2 or 3 months till they take it off of Jinder Mahal. And that is, proves when you try to change the landscape, people are not very receptive towards it. They get really, really judgmental. And the fact that he won the championship made a lot of racism come out. It got heat. I just don't think certain people understand what changes needed to be made in professional wrestling. Because what if Orton wins this? He's not a bad worker. He's not a bad guy. According to some people, he is, though. That's all their perception. But if you're an asshole to certain people, yes, those guys will be assholes back. So Randy wins the championship. Where's the payoff? Furthermore, you know, you do certain things to certain people, you know, like you tell them that this is my opinion on this and it's my opinion on that. Be careful what you say, because it's going to resonate in my head when you say it. And just reading through this comment section or these messages on Instagram, I'm going to read one question and answer it quite honestly. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Why do fans have the IQ of 12? I know. Because when you talk to certain people about certain wrestlers and they cannot get past the fine print, or no, they cannot get past the smoke and mirrors behind these, their heroes like Roman Reigns or Randy Orton or John Cena, the big three, the three-headed corporate monster, as I like to call them, they must be doing something right. I must be doing something right. Because if I got a reaction out of, I'm going to say your name, Carmella Jenkins. That's for real? That's your name? Alright, well, I'm not making fun of your name. I just think it's cool that your name is Carmella. I also want to say, another question about end zone cast. I also want to say, before I get to that, the reason why fans have the IQ of 12, certain fans, is because they're too stingy to admit that there's a possibility, just by looking at it, that things can, you know, cards subject to change, or if a guy goes down and he takes the opportunity, like Jinder Mahal took the opportunity to be a champion, because, yeah, Miss Jenkins, here's the funny part. I'm not a WWE champion. I'm not in creative. But here's the funny part. I have been involved in pro wrestling before. It doesn't make me an expert. It just means I've been on the other side. Does that make me better? No. I've observed what certain people will do and what certain people are capable of doing. And let me tell you, from where I came from, I don't want to admit that I came from, well, horrid place, better known as KCXW. And some of those guys I get along with, and some of them I don't. And some of them I'm still, nah. That's a different story, but the reason why you ask is because you got curiosity why I say fans have the IQ of 12 and some fans are brilliant, because they can adapt, they can listen, and they can hear others' opinions. It's not about who's right. Although in the world of wrestling or anything nowadays, 98% of the conversations are, well, I agree, you know, I agree with you here, but you should think this way. You should think that way. It's called being complacent. And if you're that boring and you want to stay the same, suggest, you know, opening your horizons. You saying, well, what do I need to do that when I already have all the entertainment I need with NXT? Wow, what a close-minded statement that is, yo. You know, there's other companies outside that you can watch on YouTube or Slow Slam. I'm not saying I am not saying that fans are terrible, fans are the worst thing ever, but Jesus Christ, it's very, very, very shallow, okay, to say that you have NXT. And that's your version of the independents? That doesn't necessarily count towards that. It's the minor league. Or the major leagues for independence. Because look, you're in WWE now. You are, a part of the big time. And so, anyways, folks, the end zone cast question. What do I think is going to happen? All right, so I firmly believe that Enzo is going to get his butt kicked. It's going to be a squash match. And if he wins, I'll be very, very, very surprised. So he's saying that, that you think I'm just a sadist. That's funny. I had to tell my broadcast colleague this. If I'm a sadist I'm a pessimist. No. Wrong word to describe me. There's only one word to describe me, and I'm going to spell it out for you. OPITIMISTIC. Optimistic. So I'm extremely optimistic. And I have been through, like I said earlier today, I've been through a lot of crap. And some people say, well, you're not a worker, you don't fully understand. I don't fully understand what pain feels like. I don't fully understand how to get over that pain and quit being a bitch. Wow, dude, you know what? There's one simple solution for that. It's called go fuck yourself. If you don't want to listen to my show, I'll just tell you right now. I'm not going to sit there and be saying to you, okay, here it is, here's how you should think. Don't sit there and fucking tell me that mess, okay? I had to look outside myself and get out of the situation I was in. And a lot of people say, well, if you're in the drama, why do you keep constantly going over it, like a kid with spilled milk? Again, I have to let out what I feel. And since I've got 40 minutes left, I'm going to tell you all a bit of what else bothers me. And that is when I got away from the situation, a lot of people say, don't worry about what they're doing, worry about what you're doing. I am worrying about what I'm doing because I have to keep in mind I've got certain fans that listen to what I have to say because they don't care. They click on the link. They don't listen. I don't care what you're saying, man, but it's funny that you had to create a new fucking username in order to make yourself fucking relevant. Point is, people, when I started my own independence, my own declaration of freedom by B-Train, I sat there and I literally said, I'm no longer going to be torn down. I'm going to, I'm going to just myself, a better person. it's constantly being misinterpreted. But you can't say this about us. You can't say that about us. I got news for you. No matter what you do, I'm not paying attention anymore. Unfortunately, that's kind of a lie because it's always on my news feed about what you do. So here's the deal. When I traipsed onto the scene and podcasting because Jake was nice enough in Brooklyn, when I absolutely needed somebody to talk with, you know, vent with, he was there. Now, granted, his ass was late today. That's a different story since tomorrow in New York, and it's almost tomorrow where he lives. But the point is, when someone offers you an olive branch and you take the opportunity, the advantage of saying, well, you can come on my show and talk, that's better than hearing the words, well, we don't have enough room for you, we got guests, that's fine. I understand you got a show to run, but here's the deal. I'm tired of all this stupid drama. People are trying to draw people in and make comments on Facebook and be keyboard warriors. I don't have to traipse my ass up to Virginia to beat somebody's ass. I don't have to do it at NWL Kansas City because I don't like fucking drama. Now, certain people with smug smiles saying, well, you just created drama yourself. You're just doing this for yourself. No. When somebody steals the concept for a show, does that change my perception on certain people? Yeah, it makes me believe that I can't even trust who I thought I could trust, because when word gets out about how you act and how you do, you know, how you perceive yourself, and you're fake in front of certain people, I'm just going to let people see it for themselves, and they know. Certain people can tell, you know, certain traits. So, in other words, I wasn't satisfied with just being, you know, the guy that rants or the guy that sits there and just caters to every whim by doing a promo, or just caters to every whim of doing nothing at a wrestling school, which I figure just, you know, situations just got out of hand and out of my control. Guess what? It's okay, because when I finally gain control, people's perceptions of me changing, man, I'll tell you what, that whole snowball effect at the Metro Pro Show was hilarious. You know, coming to make peace with me, that's one thing. But then talking behind my friend's back, that's another. If someone has something to say, the old saying goes, please say it in front of one's face. Otherwise, it's worthless and it's nothing but a stained bag of shit. That's worse, because if a bag of shit is stained, that means your word is completely worthless to me. And what does that mean? What am I saying? I'm changing the subject rapidly because I'm tired, and I figured, you know, I want to have a decent fucking show. And I want a decent life. But every time that I have stepped foot into the world of wrestling, you know what happens? People stare at me all kinds of funky. I don't care. But a part of me does kind of care when I try to hold a normal conversation. And boy, does that get misunderstood completely. Or you just try to conversate with us, blah, blah, blah. You know, what is this guy? We don't know him. I get it. So how do you make a good conversation begin in the world of wrestling? How do you make their perception of you change? Since that word seems to be thrown around loosely around me, Oh, you changed. Ever since you associated with Jake, we just dropped ties with you. We're not going to be around you. Well, to me, that says that you're one-sided. To me, that says I couldn't trust certain people. And if I'm just a use to you, guess what, fuckers? You think I'm just going to bitch about it on air? You have another thing coming. There's a lot of things that have been going on with me lately. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is. You know, some of it's personal, some of it's internal, psychological. So I'm just frustrated that I have to say words like, I have to come up Virginia and beat your ass. No, I don't care about Stevie Ray being on your stupid little show. Stevie Ray was a great tag team competitor with Booker T. Take Booker T away from Stevie Ray and he competes by himself. In my opinion, Stevie Ray was not that great. He really got overshadowed by his little brother. So is this, you know, out of disrespect? No, because the man was multiple tag team champion with Booker T. However, it's like if you the word gets out, if you disrespect a legend on your show, you must be a bad person. I honestly, guys, I don't have an issue with Stevie Ray. However, when someone says, I'm going to have him on our show, and like we had Mark Miro on our show, bitch, please. Mark Miro was a failed gimmick plan in both WCW and WWE. Is he a bad person? No. He's a worker. Was his work any form of decent? No. Because he was what you call cookie cutter. He did what the promoter told him. He was mid-carder at best, worked with Sable, got his ass kicked by Sable. That's, you know, the wild man Mark Miro comes in about 96, my bad. Did he fail? Because, I mean, look, did he win anything other than the Intercontinental Championship? I can answer that question. No, he didn't. But the point is, am I worried about what other people are doing from the sound of my voice? No, I'm pissed off because when you have a guest on a podcast, it tends to be misconstrued. That's not the concept of being a podcast, and certain people misunderstand that. If you say you had Danny Cage on your show, or you know we had Ronnie Nicole, that's fine. But here's the thing: we are not objects as workers. We are people who just want to chat about what we do as workers. Not the other way around, where you guys are treating us like some kind of joke or some kind of filler. Like, oh my God, this is what transpired. This is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you that question. If people don't have anything prepared, they can still run on the fly. It's not a sin. But I dare, you know, the other side of the tracks to come up with something original, because if they can, if they will, wow, you're getting guests, not surprised at all. And so you want me to come up with something original. Okay, so Shoot Section is not abnormal. Do you know why? Because CM Punk did it perfectly. Not just CM Punk, but if you take a look back, Roddy Piper was one of those guys that didn't finesse, got straight to the point, and made his craft well known. And the fans ate it up. Because why? They just did. Okay? And change isn't really happening because why? Why has change not happened according to this one guy? I'm not going to say your name because it's a shame. So there really isn't. No, there really is not. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm just going to say it. In the world of pro wrestling, there's people that are going to test you. And right now, this guy is trying to really push my buttons at 1:34 in the morning. I'm going to tell you right now, if you walk around and you say, I'm the greatest fucker here, and all you miserable little shits would die without me, quoting from Louis Black, by the way, you would heed him only to possess his powers. Little cannibal-like idea, right? What I'm getting at is, it irritates me that Shoot and Shout, a section of a show, basically stole the concept. So how do I change things up? Guess what? I got my own show, and ironically, it falls upon the same day as the shittiest podcast I have ever heard. Because even though you have big names coming on your show, you're still at the bottom of the totem pole. You're getting former legends from WCW and former WWE legends who are religious fanatics and awesome workers. Is it so wrong to have religion? I am not saying that, but when you enforce it on your show, and what if, you know, someone is an atheist and he or she doesn't want to be on your show, then what are you going to do? You're just going to respect their wishes to not be on your show? Because I would hope so. In other words, I hate conniving backstabbers in this business. Ones that like to use you and use you for your own benefit. So here's the thing, guys. There are a lot of people in this business that will tell you, if you're just getting into wrestling, don't think of the negative first. What I learned is, test the waters before you jump in. Don't dive in the pool head first, because it can be empty at the end of the fucking run. I say this because, you know, I went gung-ho with the company. I was so excited. I was fresh. I was new. And then it turns, you know, it tailspins. You can ask them what their side of the story was and say, oh, at first he was really into it. His heart was in it. He wanted to do stuff. Their idea of a wrestling practice was, let all the wrestlers try out their moves. We didn't do any fucking promos the very first year that I was there. And then on top of that, you know, I was associating myself with a company that, or a podcast that I thought really, really liked me. But it turns out, you know, as soon as I jump ship, because you're not paying attention, I'm the bad guy because I decided to take opportunity elsewhere. Dog, look, even if I'm still with Jake, that still really should not affect a friendship. But because certain boundaries, I guess, were crossed, guess what? I'm the bad guy again. I'm used to being the bad guy in certain situations. I don't give a fuck at this point. Am I supposed to mend fences? A group of people that literally fired me over an email, and also mend fences with a group of people that all they talk about for reals is WWE. Now, I talk about the hot button issues in wrestling, because why? It's one of those things that gets attention and also assures me, you know, give me something to talk about. It gives me something to look forward to. Because not just WWE is what's going on in this world. There's also Ring of Honor. There's also Future of Honor, Women of Honor, Wrestling Revolver, Shimmer, Shikara, CZW, list goes on and on. ICW, IWGP. I feel the need to tell you all that there are just certain irritations that I have that I'm learning just to get over. And some people say you shouldn't mention it because then it's giving credibility to these group of people. That's not how my mind works. My mind is completely different from others, and others will say, well, you're just batshit crazy. Well, I guess I have to carry on the legacy of Brian Pillman now, don't I? See how random that statement was? Whenever I knew, okay, not just a podcast was backstabbing, you know, and people say, oh, you just pour fuel on the fire. No offense, dude. When you have guys like Kyle Eller, who you think is a friend, and you want to be friends with, and then, or not want to be friends, but thought that you were friends with him, and then he sells you out, yeah, that's not a very good feeling. Because then that makes me, who has had issues in the past, not just workers, former workers, whatever one they want to classify themselves as. I can forgive, but I'm not the type that forgets. You know what I'm saying? An elephant never forgets. That's a true statement. It's one of those things that you look back and you say, okay, well, how do I move forward? What do I have to do to go and just be, you know, be the best person I can be? I can honestly say that looking back at what I've done, I'm not sorry for certain things. And I'm still friends with certain folk. But that doesn't necessarily negate me or anybody else from wanting to have a good life. Because I think it's unfair. I think it's very, very unfair to tell me, oh, you know, here's what you're supposed to feel. This is the emotion that you're supposed to go by in wrestling. This is the form of etiquette. This is the unwritten rule that you're supposed to go by. This is the glass ceiling that you're supposed to hit. Enough negativity has come through my life to the point where sometimes I sit and wonder, was moving to the East Coast a good idea? Was me saying certain things on air a good idea about certain people? Well, I'm not going to retract what I said about Stevie Ray, because I'm not Jim Cornette. I am not, you know, certain people that like to go off at the cuff and not have any repercussions in doing so. I will tell you, I am the last person that you want to make mad, because here's the fun part about me and my personality. I think that all I do is just shoot for a living. That's not what I'm built for. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to make valid points about some things that really don't seem right in the world of professional wrestling. And it's just based off my opinion. I don't speak for any of the other fans and the fan bases. I'm just telling you, when you have an original concept, original idea, sometimes it gets understood and sometimes it gets thrown to the wayside, and sometimes it doesn't even get looked at all. So I was talking earlier about backstabbing, conniving people. That's not just in the world of wrestling. That's also at jobs. But are we really going to – this is what peeves me. Are we really going to sit at Facebook and gripe about every little thing? You never get anywhere. You just – this is just my opinion on it. If you're a worker and you complain on Facebook about certain things in your personal life, you're allowing the world to understand, okay, this is what they're going through. You're human. Sadly, social media has become a comfort level or comfort zone for workers who don't grasp the concept that people are paying attention to what you are saying. It's just a matter of you putting your foot down and saying, I'm not going to bitch anymore on Facebook. That's why I can honestly say I'm tired of saying I'm frustrated because, you know, friends got their own lives now. So if they don't understand what you're going through in the world of wrestling, that's fine. But it's like people do it just to get a reaction now. So if you think for one second that, you know, it's going to make your life better just by griping and bitching on fucking Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever. Again, I've had enough negativity in my life to the point where I'm sick of it. So how? What are the positive turns of this? Go out, run, do something. Vent on a podcast for flying fuck's sakes. It just gets irritating to my core that certain guys and gals just, oh, it'll get better, blah, blah, blah. To get what, a fucking reaction? Are you guys celebrities? Are you guys in the E? No. Do you have to be in the E to get, you know, write a Facebook status? So let people in about how you feel means you're human. I get it. So you modernize and you don't say shit. I'm sorry, I don't cut around corners. I don't make excuses. I just tell the truth. The truth is, whenever people make the assumption that they know what my life is like or others' life is like, I got two words for you. Actually, three. Go fuck yourself. Don't ever in your life assume that it's okay to spread rumors, gossip, whatever, about people. It's not true. So, in this world, in the world of professional wrestling, the word perception, you know, how it's perceived, change. Oh, man, there's still a lot of work to be done by all of us. Fans, referees, everybody. But it's not going to happen simultaneously because change has to happen on its own. It's a beautiful thing we call life. It's also a beautiful thing called getting over shit. And I'm slowly but surely healing a lot happier than when I was a year ago when I was in KCXW. I was a lot happier when I was not training at XWC. You don't know what it feels like to be harassed after the fact that you have gotten fired? Yo, let me just go off about that for just a, you know, more minutes, okay? The fact that I had to put up with somebody's ass stalking me after the fact that I had said shit about the company was funny. And the fact that they've left me alone now, thank God. Because I do not want any part of that company. And I hope, with all intention, that moving forward, me moving forward, they get the hint. You cannot keep telling different stories in order to get people to come to your training facility. I'll give you a prime example. when I first got to David Catton, it was, I went to St. Joe. They didn't show up for training. And that was, you know, one half of his story. And here's my favorite part. You train under somebody for a month. Then, you know, you went to shitty feds and left. And why am I ranting and ripping someone a new ass? Because I can and I will. How does this make me move forward? How does this make me change? So I got to say, sometimes you got to touch base with your past in order to move forward, because it just is. You know, and will I have a guest on this show to answer your question? Yes, I will. By next week, I will find me my very first guest for Off the Rails Uncensored. Let me tell you something. I try and get people to come out of their shell for a reason. When I was interviewing Adrian Surge, the reason why I mentioned WPW is because that was the group that I, you know, I saw once or twice. It was okay, if, you know, whatever. So, you know, I don't like creating more drama for myself, but it's funny. I got an invite to go to one of their shows, and I respectfully declined. Moving forward, when I'm asking that question, I just, you know, my head automatically went to, okay, how do I, you know, be professional about this? I saw you, I thought you were a really good worker, yeah. But other things that came to mind were, the company where I worked, security, or did lack thereof. Now, yeah, that was granted a mistake on my end, but for a shitty company like them, I don't really give a fuck. Their workers are absolutely, some of them are terrible, some of them are great. You know, like I said, it's difficult to be a manager when you're not well, you know, well in demand. So you know, make with what do, and they probably were right. You know, I should have been better about security when you apologize. I don't think the promoter really gave a crap, even though, like I said, it's the equivalent. It's the St. Louis or Illinois equivalent of shitty KCXW. So am I shitting and bagging all over company and creating more drama? I don't think so. But I'm just going to say the following. Whenever someone says they want to join pro wrestling, that they want to do themselves, they want to do a service to the world of pro wrestling and this, that, the other, it is a crock of shit. It is a crock of shit when said company is feeding lies to their workers. It is a crock of shit when guys are not willing to change. They are not willing to do anything to change. So how does this tie in with what I'm discussing with you all tonight? When you work in the world of pro wrestling, you travel, you sacrifice, you pay, you know, pay your own way, you pay your dues, you're paying your dues constantly. That part never ends. I'm not a 15-year veteran. I'm not a 20-year veteran, but I know from the very first day that I started learning professional wrestling at a seminar in 2008, it was, you will never stop paying your dues. It does not matter who you are, what you have become. If you think, you know, by bleeding or, you know, you always set up the ring. Charles Robinson, a referee in WWE, he consistently sets up the ring. Now, granted, there were times when I did not do the thing because I thought it was just time to relax before the show and get some I did not do my part in helping set up the ring. There are different concepts in the world of wrestling that get misconceived. Like, you don't always have to set up the ring, but it looks good, I guess, to the promoter if you do. You start earning respect back, or there are guys who will still fucking hate you. I know I've burned my bridges with one company. I don't give a flying fuck. So if you want to bring that shit up with me, I'll gladly PM you, Dane, right after this podcast and tell you exactly what happened. Because, you know, granted, I'm told that I'm being very one-sided as well. But when you, you know, I'm going to say the following. We have a guy in a wheelchair who probably faked, or, you know, faked a signature for his passing that physical in the state of Missouri. I find it ironic that because I don't do certain things, you know, there's favoritism. Now, granted, said favoritism happens in anything, not just professional wrestling. I'm not going to go over the definition of what favoritism is, but when I was there, you know, this guy, we're on a road trip, and I remember he went on a road trip to save his two criminal friends. And instead of being kicked out because he almost got in jail, this kid got a free pass. But when I got in trouble, I got the stern reprimand. Let's call, you know, let's call the elephant in the room, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't want any fucking criminal to be on our roster, yada, yada. I got to tell you, the more and more I think about this school, it's going to make me angry. And I've already been angry for the last, hour and a half. So, how does one get past it? How does one change his perception? How do I change my perception of what's going on around me? Very simple. I let out what I was not able to let out in front of these assholes, because no matter what I would do, it was a very toxic environment. In toxic environments, you have the choice whether you can leave, make it better for yourself, or stay, bitch and complain, you know, and never do a damn thing about it. And I also realized when certain people are paying attention to what you're saying and being snitches of all things, you should not go with the flow. You should just go against the grain, because if a company is going to use you as a deke or freaking snitch, here's what I'm going to tell you. That only will get you so far. Karma will take care of you. I won't take care of you, because if I do, it's going to be very, very bad. My temper with certain people that have done this to me, not just in wrestling, but in grade school and everything else. It's one of those things where, okay, well, how do I get past square one? I'm back to square one. So then how do I get past the second square, whatever? It becomes one big puzzle. How do I perceive myself? How do others perceive me? I know that this group doesn't like me, but I'm just using them as a strong case, as a strong example. And also, folks, since I've got close to over a minute left, I'm just going to tell you, next week it's going to get even better, because I'll have my first guest on Off the Rails Uncensored. For those of you who enjoyed this second round, thank you. The third round, I'm going to give a little KO punch. And for you fuckers who think I'm done, I'm only just begun. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. See you on the flip side, bitches. See you next week. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. I've been everything you wanna be.
cultural personality. The cultural personality. The cultural personality.